pals.
Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Throwing the Pal. My name is Bronk.
My name is Marcus.
My name is Doug.
And this is the podcast, Throwing the Pal, as you might have heard from the catchphrase. Song? Intro. We talk about movies, love it or hate it.
Language is a struggle during this opening in particular.
And we talk about movies, love it or hate it.
Oh, we love it or hate it.
Yeah. And we
debunk
those movies that we love or hate. Frank's considering restarting the intro, but we're not going to do it.
We're not going to do it. We're talking about Roadhouse 2024. The new one. The new Roadhouse.
The new Roadhouse.
Everyone, just to clarify, we're talking about the new Roadhouse.
There was the 1989 one with Patrick Swayze. That's not the one we're talking about. This is not your granddad's Roadhouse.
Oh, this is the new Roadhouse. Came out like a month ago.
Probably.
Like recent.
Yeah. For those listening now, it might be a bit longer. But
what year is it now?
This is Roadhouse on cocaine. Well and truly.
I don't know if they do any drugs, actually. So, directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, it's going to be a rowdy, roundhouse kick kind of a time.
Do you want to give us a synopsis?
Do I? Do
you? was that your synopsis? It's
that's
not bad.
That's kind of it. That's,
yeah,
there's
okay.
not a lot more to
no,
it.
No, I got
not
more.
A lot of,
more.
Not
watch
a lot
this.
Of roundhouses, though. Go on.
Not enough. In the original, so many roundhouse kicks.
So many.
Wow, he has great form. Oh. He's a better dancer than...
Billy Elliot.
Yep.
You're going to do it. Go on.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. Oh.
Synopsis. Ex-UFC fighter. Shh. Hey, are you guys listening? You guys listening? Shut up. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, only to discover that his paradise is not as it seems. Is not all it seems. I apologize. Mm. Not bad.
That's what happens in the movie.
Good synopsis.
Paradise.
All righty. And
Oh no, that's locked out of heaven. He doesn't even say paradise.
No, nor should he.
What's another song with paradise in it? We'll get to it.
Well, maybe there's a song that has an
Run to Paradise.
Run to Paradise.
We rate these films that we talk about on the podcast out of 11.
10 plus 1.
We do.
Yep, because we're better than everyone by one more or something like that.
Yeah.
Or is there another reason,
Tom? Tells me that.
Yeah. When you, if you load this up on Amazon and you look at the title Roadhouse, the H looks like an 11.
Frank's grinding his teeth with fury over that one.
It's the effort.
So you were stoned when you watched this or you were lazy?
It was very early this morning, as you know, because I text you.
You did text me.
Very early.
You woke me up with
a text. I was watching this movie at 5:30 this morning because I woke up early.
That's the perfect time to watch this movie, I think.
Yeah.
And Tom's been in it.
That's an odd time to watch this movie.
I woke up early, had things I was going to do.
Did you have a shot of pre-workout and a shot of tequila and then watch it?
Yeah, I didn't work out. No, I had a coffee and I sat there watching it. I feel like we should, before I jump the lead,
we
should get to how we feel
Absolutely.
About this.
Absolutely, we should shout our names if we like this film. Frank!
Marcus!
Yeah!
Marcus!
Of course Tom doesn't like it. Of course.
Good. Go, neck crack, he's ready, he's loaded.
For the
up.
Listener, he just cracked Good. His neck like a big tough guy, ready to fight, ready to do roundhouse kicks. All right, give us a score, Marcus. What do you reckon?
Look, I'm going to give this a modest 7.5.
Hey! Ooh,
that's modest.
That's modest. That's Thank a nice you. Little 7.5. You know what? I'm going to give it a 7.7.
Ooh.
Similar, same sort of vibe, feeling the same.
Three.
Three?
Three. Goody. I'm rubbing my hands together. We haven't had a Tom hate in a while.
It's been a little while.
I can't wait for the monologues that are to come. All right. Well, let's just go into it quickly. So this is based on the 1989 film. It's a remake technically, although I would say it's an improvement and better in every way.
You did watch the Patrick Swayze one?
I have seen the original. I watched it
last weekend. I haven't
watched
it for a long, long time.
A lot of roundhouse kicks, a lot of bad dialogue.
I watched the Family Guy parody, which I think is basically
it's exactly
which
the same.
Is Peter just saying the words Roadhouse and then him kicking people. Yep. So, yeah, I get it.
Basically, I like the Brooklyn Nine-Nine bit where he's like, safe house, at safe house.
I don't remember.
You know that bit? We're going to watch Safe House at a safe house.
Ah. Good
so the similarity there is that they're both houses.
I see that. I actually missed the joke there, I think.
What about Life as a House?
Another
which
film.
Which one's that?
Both
Kevin
films.
Klein, Hayden Christensen.
That's right. What a weird pull.
Beautiful film.
Great film.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. So Roadhouse. I knew this was going to be ridiculous. I think we all knew it was going to be ridiculous, right?
I didn't.
What?
Yeah, well, okay, what I do didn't. You mean? I didn't know what to expect.
You thought it was going to be a serious film.
No, not a serious film, but I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how it was going to remake a film like that using the A-list power of Jake Gyllenhaal. Very versatile and very talented actor, Jake Gyllenhaal, might I add.
Mm.
I think.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. And then they really marketed the whole, like, Jake doing, like, building a UFC body and doing, like, the...
Jake got shredded.
Yeah.
Jake, like, got big.
Massively. He, like,
but he's always been fit. I feel like this is not a surprise.
Well, he did that in Southpaw as well.
Southpaw
and
is the
Jarhead.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't to shirt a off degree Jarhead, that he's... Yeah. He, it's like the biggest special effect of the movie is when he takes his shirt off and you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, there's not an ounce of fat on him. It's impressive.
No,
it's impressive how he looks in this.
And they really pushed for that whole, like, UFC sort of weigh in and, you know, that was how they
marketed.
And
they did it at a real
film.
Octagon. Like, they did that. Out of the real fight.
Yeah.
Who taught you shapes?
But I didn't know what to expect. And I know that McGregor was in this. That's all I knew. And so when this started, it took me a little bit longer than I'd like to get there. But this leans so much into that 80s campy, not taking itself too seriously, B-grade, awesome thrill ride of just ludicrous behavior, explosions, one-liners, the most villainous villain with no real agenda of all time. I can't wait to talk about McGregor.
Oh, I thought you meant Billy Magnussen.
Him too, actually, but McGregor outweighs him in terms of just, like, the scale of what he brings to the
cartoonish
screen.
Cartoonish, ridiculous.
So cartoonish. Like, he's literally Popeye.
That's pretty
it's
funny.
It's so accurate. It is so accurate.
Yeah.
So I think
Popeye has two dimensions to him at
what
least.
What the Connor fuck is going on here?
I think I hurt your leg there.
Go.
I think this movie starts relatively in reality. Like it has at least a foot in reality.
Mm.
Like. Jake Gyllenhaal shows up to this fight center similar to the first X-Men where he's like fighting Wolverine. Doesn't even have to take his – well, none doesn't. He takes his hoodie off and then Post Malone, who is the best fighter in town.
We will get to my opening thoughts on this fucking movie, but yeah.
Post Malone's there and he's like, I'm not fighting him. No way. Get effed. No way. You can have your money. So Jake Gyllenhaal does nothing and gets a bunch of cash, then leaves, then gets stabbed, then is fine, and then gets this job at the Roadhouse, and then arrives in Key West and meets the charming people who run the bookshop. And
you're like, just say, gets casually stabbed.
Very
deep
casually.
Stabbed and very casually
casual.
Deals with it.
Yeah. They call him casual.
I ain't got
Jake.
Time to bleed. Continue.
Anyway, then he arrives in the Key West. In the Key West? In Key. In the Keys. In the Florida Keys.
Yes, the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Why do you think they call them the Keys?
All keys
the drugs,
of cocaine.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah. Wow, Tom's like so flat.
Pretty checked out of this.
Anyway,
wow.
I'll get there once you guys talk about it.
Okay.
So he rocks up. I think the first 40 minutes is good. It sets the scene in a relatively, at least attempting to be serious way. At least there's a little bit of storytelling. Jake Gyllenhaal was like on the verge of killing himself, thinks, nah, I'll take this job instead, gets down there, starts assessing the situation, and it's like, cool. We can see where this might be going. We can see the parallels to the original. He's a good guy, but he is just the world's best fighter. Oh, he can't help it, but he doesn't want to hurt people. And he starts kicking people out of the bar, but training the other staff. And it's like, I think it's really enjoyable. And then the bad guy, Billy Magnussen, shows up. And you're like, who is this guy getting a razor blade shave on the back of a yacht in bad weather? And he's like, the captain said it'd be steady, right? Yeah, steady as we go. Oh, don't cut me. You said steady. I'm going to kill you.
Can I say, Frank, you were great in this role. You were excellent.
And you were great as Conor McGregor, Mark.
That's actually pretty good. So, you think you're Jake
I'm Arturo Castro, the kind of funny guy who's in the crew. the best part of the movie.
Absolutely.
Hands
fantastic.
Down the best part of the movie.
Go on.
The guy who plays, he's Jaime from Broad City. He's been in a couple of other things as well. But just every scene he's in.
It's like, where's the nearest hospital? It's like, oh, it's about 20 minutes
20
that
minutes
way.
That way. Those are your guys' bikes out the front? Yeah, mine's the red one.
Yeah.
when Billy Magnuson's walking onto the island, he's like, what are you doing? Put up a hammock. Take down the fucking hammock. You said to make ourselves at home. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. You said that on the bus. Well, I didn't mean it, you know. And then right at the end, Jake Gyllenhaal was carrying a dead body. He's like, oh, man, you got a body there? It looks heavy. Good for you. Good for you.
I'm just leaving. I'm just going to go. Like, for good. Like, these guys.
He's
like,
very funny.
The only person in the movie to me who strikes that tone of that's the sort of comedy that works for me in this movie. He's the one who should be doing the.
Wait, and you didn't get more of that, though?
Throughout the movie?
Outside of him?
I know. I found this movie pretty unbearable. And like when it wasn't being unbearable, boring most of the time.
I don't want to blame your morning routine, but this is a nighttime movie with a few beers.
Yeah, this is like watching, I don't know, Dune 2 on a laptop with roulette ads popping up.
Yeah, if any psychopath would possibly do that. I'm not.
Let me just say, I've watched Dune 2 again in the meantime, and it was a little bit better. A little bit.
The hot take of the summer.
But I've watched Roadhouse twice.
That's as cannibal as Frank's ever going to be.
You've watched this movie twice?
I've watched Roadhouse twice and the original in the last week. So I've watched three times Roadhouse in the last week.
I love that. Like agog by that.
Agog? Yeah,
they call me agogaman.
I could not imagine wanting to watch this movie again.
I kind of want to, but with friends. I want to watch it
with would watch it with you two again. That's, if you guys were like, point. Fuck it, let's get drunk and watch this movie, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, but drink, first of all, drink responsibly. Second of all, that's the whole point, right? That's the point.
We don't say that's the point. We don't say that anymore.
That's it. That's our
We don't say that anymore.
Any movie that's like a Friday night with a couple of beers movie is also a I'm on holidays. It's my first Monday morning of holidays. I'm going to sit up and watch a movie.
No, Thomas.
And if you're going to be like, no, that's not the setting for it, well, then the movie fucking sucks because it needs to fit every setting, all right?
Wrong.
That's my.
Dune 2 doesn't fit laptop setting.
That's true.
Some movies need
spectacle. That's laptop 144p with roulette ads, okay? You're like taking different hindrances away.
Tom,
right?
I will say this is, I think this is a film best shared with people.
Yeah.
It's a film not to be taken seriously.
It's like chips and salsa.
Yeah, I don't want to.
My problem is not that I couldn't take this movie seriously. It's that this movie doesn't take itself seriously in a way that I find incredibly cynical.
You mean to an extent that it's too far? Is that the problem?
My issue is not that the movie is too far. Like, I love movies that are too much.
Yeah,
the
movie, Kill Bill.
The incredible version of this movie is Kung Fu Hustle to me, which you guys might be familiar with. It's a Stephen Chow movie, right?
Yep.
And it's just like Looney Tunes, essentially. It's somehow live action, but it's just this excess, and it's so funny and whimsical. And
is that
and
the one with the Kung Fu cow? The cow?
No,
that's
I know what one you mean. Where it's like, and they're dodging the milk like it's the Matrix or something.
Yeah, is that Kung Fu Hustle?
That's not Kung Fu. I was talking about Kung Fu
that's
Hustle.
That's what I said. That's what I'm asking you. Is it Kung Fu Hustle?
No. Oh. I can't remember what that one's called. Regardless, I find this movie to be cynical in a way that I'm noticing more and more, and it's not a recent trend, but it's just becoming a bit fucking like stultifying to me to watch a movie that is trafficking in this really dead, empty humor that's a little Marvel, but it's also just kind of like seeping into all IP at the moment. It's recognizing that what it's doing is silly and you might have seen it before, and it hangs a hat on it and goes, oh, this is just like a Western, and has the girl say it over and over again. And I'm like, yes, I get it. Like, that's fine. That's the point. And then it has characters that are so vapid and empty of any possible human trait. But then it also goes like, but you should care. But I don't. You've spent the whole movie setting it up for me not to give a fuck.
Who are you caring about?
Who do you think it wants you to care
do
about?
Do you think the movie would bother with the young girl at the bookstore and the guy with the gang burnt down?
It's device driven.
Hold on.
Yes, but bothering with that and bothering with if he were a pure rampage machine for no reason, I'd find that more interesting than shallow. I met this girl who gave me a book on a tree once, or I like hooked up with this Portuguese girl because we had a date in that shallow waters once, and now she's been kidnapped. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, does anyone really give a fuck about any of those elements of the movie that are meant to be driving something of, like...
I think you're trying to give far too much depth to what is, on the surface, popcorn cinema at best.
Excellent. So it should have good action, right? The action in this movie fucking sucks. Okay. It's dog shit.
Hold on. Go on. First of all, language, the aggression coming off this guy. What are you, Jake Gyllenhaal?
Apologies.
Yeah. It's unusual to hear him so upset.
I don't get mad, but when I do, I just can't let go, guys.
Just
you know?
Be nice.
Like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Be nice. You know what I mean? That's an original Roadhouse reference. You don't get it. You've not seen it. Be nice.
Roadhouse. This,
can I talk about the original Roadhouse?
The same film.
We'll come back to you.
I want to hear about the original Roadhouse because it's probably more
fun. The first fight is a guy punching a woman in Roadhouse. So...
Level one.
So there's your problem.
Jesus
Second of all,
Christ.
I only took a few notes. But then the next
fuck.
Sorry.
Honestly, it's like, what the fuck? You just let that sit.
You're like, so let that sink.
Yeah. Think about that.
I don't
for
remember
a second.
That.
Genuinely. No, of course you don't, because why would you? It's trauma.
The 80s, bro.
The girl at the bar who is in this movie as well.
Jessica Williams?
I don't mean the girl. I mean the character. Like plays the fun bartender. She goes over to get Patrick Swayze breakfast, and she sees his butt, and there's this full zoom close-up of his butt, and then it pans to her, and she's like biting her lip going, oh, that's a nice butt. Oh, yes,
God,
Patrick Swayze.
That movie sounds incredible.
It's insane.
I
want to
watch that.
It's pretty funny. And then the last bit is, of course, the classic line of, nobody ever wins a fight. Great. Great line.
Yeah, it's in this one as well.
Who won the fight? Nobody ever wins the fight. Wow. That's good.
I will have to watch the original. Not that it's going to improve or detract from my view of this one.
It will improve.
I don't think it will.
The thing about this opening that I think we talked about briefly earlier today, Frank, is it reminded me of a John Mulaney bit, which is John Mulaney talks about his intervention and how when he walked in, a woman comes up to him and goes, hi, like I'm Susie, here to help with the intervention. And he goes, wrong energy, like straight away at his own intervention. I'm watching this movie, it's 5 minutes in, and Post Malone is the toughest guy in a bar, beating the shit out of guys, and then a Post Malone song starts playing on the soundtrack, and I'm like, wrong energy straight away. I'm not here for this.
Because,
this is not working for me.
Because I don't know Post Malone's music, I didn't clock it.
It's not even like Post Malone. I'm not bringing that in.
It's a song
that he did for the movie. But I'm just like, I just think that I'm really not checked into the vibe this movie's throwing down. I think the whole thing of him just, Jake Gyllenhaal sitting down, pulling his hoodie off and going to take his shoes off is whatever. It's an okay bit of visual storytelling where it's like, no, I'm not fucking fighting that guy. And then just, I'm not fucking that guy. Right?
I said I'm not going to fuck him.
Right?
Okay, but how about
I'm
fight?
Saying
would
fight.
You fight?
I'm hearing fuck.
I think we're saying the same thing. And then at the end of that, he goes to his car, almost gets stabbed, right? And Jessica Williams comes up to him and she's like, pretty cool thing you got there where you sit down, people know your reputation, they pay you without you even having to fight. And I'm like, thank you for that explanation of the bit we just watched. Like, is the movie doing with these insane, like, doesn't trust the audience to even get these bits of pretty obvious visual storytelling? And I think that just keeps happening throughout the movie.
Name one more example.
More example? Give me another one.
No, I agree.
Here's another one.
I think the thing that is wrong with this movie, and if you don't buy in like Marcus and I did, and I watched this, it definitely was an evening, and I definitely was relaxed.
Drink responsibly. Yo.
Exactly. Thank you. But I was like, cool, I'm in. And it took me 45, 50 minutes to be like, wow, this is really stupid. I'm going to flip the switch.
That's
and enjoy
kind
it.
Of it. Hey.
You know what I mean?
And like,
it starts and you think, oh, this is kind of serious and it's not doing it well, but it's serious. Like I think he should have knocked Post Malone out, but Post Malone's contract wouldn't have allowed that. I think it's weird that he is suicidal and they don't really speak about it. It's like he tries to, it's like, oh, the train's going to kill me. Actually, no. It's like, what?
It's called character depth. It's really interesting.
No, and I agree. I feel like it's with him for the rest of the film for sure. it really lands and it's really like a thing so that we impactful. Care about.
And that we keep seeing those flashbacks and we're like, what must have happened? And I've said this before on the pod. I'm not someone who is so tuned into movies that when I watch them, I can predict them. Like, I don't watch movies that way. I know people who are much smarter than me who don't watch as many movies as I do, and they can go, I bet this is where this is going. I bet this is where this is going. And a lot of the time I go, I don't know how you did that. And the way I realize it is the more locked into a film I am, the less I'm trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
The more bored I am, my mind has more time to wander. Mm. So when I'm seeing those flashbacks, I'm like, so he killed someone in a fight, right? Like, that's what happened. Yeah. And now he's sad that he killed someone in a fight. And they're like, so you killed someone in a fight. And it's like, yeah, obviously that's what happened. And then it's like...
But also... That's what happened in the original Roadhouse, sure. But not in UFC fighting. No. But he killed.
But
answer me this though, because that part again, yeah. I enjoyed the film, but that part didn't make sense to me. They were friends, right? It was established that was his friend.
Yeah, but something happened. He got
but something happened that was never explained.
If you see the full version where they finally show it after the first confrontation with McGregor, it's like the guy hits him and it spins Gyllenhaal out in the fight, and he's like, "Oh, that one like, really hurt." So
you got sucker punched by a friend of yours who it doesn't make UFC.
But I think Gyllenhaal gets hit in that UFC fight, gets angry and can't control himself and kills his friend. Mm-hmm. That's what he says in the film later. He's like, well, you're not going to like what's me when I'm angry. It's like the Hulk. But literally he gets angry and then he like punches that guy in the trachea, breaks his larynx and he chokes to death.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, I'm on a killing spree now. Watch out. I'm the scariest dude alive. Mm. Whilst talking like Jake Gyllenhaal. So he's not scary at all. But it's like,
I find something about Jake being quite intimidating, even when he's not.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he does that well.
You know, it's like when I break your larynx, you're about to choke to death. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, if Woody Allen did it, that's how it would sound. But I'm like, we're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The same.
We did watch the same film, right? Yeah.
This is Jake Gyllenhaal's voice.
Here's the thing. Jake Gyllenhaal has such an effortless magnetism. Who is, by the way, I'll add here, allegedly. An insane fucking human being, like, is quite well known, allegedly, to be quite...
Elaborate on this.
Bombastic on his film set. Well, the rumor is because Rebecca Ferguson did, like, the big tour after Dune Part 2 or during Dune Part 2, and she talked about how she was on a film set with someone who just, like, went off at her. And almost every former co-star of Rebecca Ferguson's came out and was like, I'm so sorry to hear this happened. Terrible. Can't imagine who it would be. But there was one former co-star who was conspicuously absent from that, and it was Jake Gyllenhaal, a man who has been on film sets, and there've been all this like behind-the-scenes stuff. People being like, he's like almost manic. Like when you talk to him, he is so hype; it's scary.
He's about to climb. What's he doing now? Like he's not even doing a film, and he's about to like cycle for 40 days or climb a mountain or something like. He seems like an insane human being.
Yes.
And the training he's done for Roadhouse and the human growth hormone he probably took.
No doubt.
And like the commitment to these things is next level. And I think he has insane, crazy eyes.
It's what I call.
But that's why he has that high voice as well. He's like, I'm insane.
It is an interesting contrast with his voice not having that dark grit to it. It's what I call DLC, which for you, Frank, do you know what DLC is?
Love the Coca-Cola.
Marcus and I, being avid gamers, downloadable content. He's like DLC living at this point. He's reached that height in life where he's kind of won. And now he's like, what else can I do? Like, fuck it, what else is available? And he's like doing that. Tom Cruise is sort of in a similar boat. Where it's like, I don't know, I could do anything now.
Mm. Yeah.
That said, Jake Gyllenhaal has an effortless magnetism to him in virtually anything that when he is, as I think he is in this movie, basically on snooze, he's still pretty compelling. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, I want to be mad at you for this, but I still like watching you.
But also, it is snooze because, and it's unapologetically on snooze mode.
No.
I think he's in this film just to look great and sort of deliver on a like a B-grade sort of level and not take it so seriously.
Sure. I'm going
to
disagree.
He's worked so hard in his career. I think that this time he's just like, I'm just going to have a fun roller coaster ride of a film.
Yeah, no, but I don't think that's snooze mode. I think he still takes it seriously, and I think he knows it's a fun B-grade action film.
I think
film.
For him it's snooze mode. I think that he, like, mode for Jake Gyllenhaal.
No. How hard has he been training and how hard is he fighting?
I think that's different.
It's a different
putting the physical effort in versus
okay,
the
so he's not crying, he's not.
Doing you don't have to be crying to be putting on some effort on screen with a guy who is notoriously charismatic. And it's kind of like he's going, I'm going to give you guys 20% for this.
He's maximum. Not. He's giving you all of it.
No, he's not. I disagree with that.
Sorry, but I have to agree with Tom.
He's giving you all the charisma. Well, you think he would even like get through this film if you didn't think he was charismatic? He doesn't have to do anything, but he's giving you exactly the amount he needs.
But that's the natural magnetism that he's talking about.
It's the one that he can't help because he's awake.
He's an insane person.
Yeah.
No. If he was not trying, he would come across as insane and insufferable.
Yeah.
He's absolutely trying.
He's almost, his performance teeters on, not terrible, but just like bad to me. And as the film goes, I'm like, I can't call this a bad performance. It's probably my least favorite Jake Gyllenhaal performance by a mile. Like, yeah, I can't
think of
it. It's
not Zodiac.
It's nothing. Like, it's nothing.
It's not,
what else he's been
in. I'm going to disagree with you. It's not nothing because it's so bombastic. It's like, here's the performance. It's stupid.
Mm.
That's still
the
a performance.
The movie is stupid.
I see, Frank.
So
though,
is his performance.
I must admit, everything around Gyllenhaal in this film is big and bombastic. I think that he's the neutral. He's playing,
but he's not. He's not neutral. I don't think that's fair to say. He's still doing ridiculous shit.
Okay,
physically.
Yeah, vocally he stays down here. I'm just going to be like, I'm going to be conversational about everything.
Almost
I do.
A bit one note with.
I think vocally and facially it's all pretty one note.
But that's not a performance does one make or whatever you want to, what's the phrase? Like there is so much more.
not the face and
not
vocal.
A performance does one's face make. He's doing so much more than that. Just because he's playing it level headed doesn't mean he's not doing a whole bunch of shit.
We're at an impasse here, I think, and we can move on to a different point.
Here's the scene I go like, that's him doing the closest I got to being like, okay, sure, which is him asking the guys when he takes them out, the bikies at the start, and he's like, so do you have insurance? Is there a hospital here?
Yeah.
Because his way of playing that is so matter of fact, so conversational with what we know is coming. I'm like, that's good. There's something there that I quite like in the way that he plays that.
I slapped you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I slapped you. I'm sorry about that.
I can't believe it.
One of the only, and even once that fight sequence got going, I was kind of out. But that start of that one I was kind of into. I think the fighting looks really bad in this.
Terrible.
Really bad.
I will
bad.
Say that. I think the camera work is weird.
Yep.
And they're hiding cuts in the most obvious way. And it's like fisheye lens. It feels like a video game in the worst
weird
way.
Weird going like, we're going to go POV for this, but then for the last fight at the end, they kind of go this weird art house, like shaky cam off the both of them where we can't see shit. And I'm like, this is terrible, terrible.
There's one fight where it's the first time Conor McGregor comes to the bar and then he punches, it's like normal sort of relatively normal camera work. And then he punches Gyllenhaal in the face and it goes immediately to Jake Gyllenhaal's point of view. And you're like, why? And
it's like
it looks bad. It looks so fake. And he's like, watch out for your face.
I agree. I think it looks terrible. I think everything to do with a car in this movie, the car on the train tracks, when it gets hit, I'm just like, cool. It fucking looks like a PS4 like cutscene. And then when when the pickup truck attacks him, it's the same thing. I'm like, this looks
the pickup
terrible.
Truck's
the pickup truck.
The pickup truck's bad.
I was
absolutely
so bad.
Taken out of the movie every time something like that had to happen. The speedboat.
Speaking of good cars, we'll come back to the speedboat.
Okay.
Good cars. Two things. Conor McGregor. Of course, we know his Popeye is a cartoon character. Is the worst performance of all time on film, maybe.
I want to talk about this.
We'll come back to it. But he drives the Lamborghini like a maniac.
Yeah.
And then two scenes later, he's driving the Hyundai Getz in the same manner.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and it's a learner car.
A learner car. And then he drives it into the, because it's like, why is he drinking all these coconuts? And then he drives and crashes it into a coconut tree and all the coconuts fall down. You're like, oh, that's why. I guess that's kind of funny.
So hang on. Sorry, just in case I missed what you said. Are you saying his performance in this is one of the worst of all time?
All time.
Thank you. Conor McGregor is one of the worst performances of all time.
Of all time.
I just was so checked out.
The opposite of MPB.
Every single time he was on camera, I was like, I couldn't be less fucking interested. It's when you have a villain in a movie the one that kept coming to mind for me was Joffrey from Game of Thrones, where it's like people are like, I hate that guy, but I hate him so much, I want to see other people hurt him, or I want to see what else he does. And I'm like, I hate this guy so much, I want the movie to be over. I don't want this to keep going.
I wish someone would just shoot him in the neck.
That's
and
it.
Leave him.
I know that. Oh, I know the movie still has to keep going because he's still alive.
This
and
is
I,
the
because,
problem.
Because I thought, sorry, to go back, Billy Magnuson.
So good. Love
so
Billy
good.
Magnuson.
So he plays Ben Brandt,
yes,
the son of the chief of police or whatever, son of the leader of the town. You could say.
Well, he's the son of the guy who's in jail, who's gone to jail. The chief of police is the father
But Ben Brandt's dad is the rich guy who's redeveloping the whole land.
Yeah, chief of police
but
he was the bartender's. Oh no, the girl.
The chief of police is the doctor's father.
See, there's a lot of layers. It's a very complicated, sophisticated film.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, Billy Magnuson.
Drug lord's in prison. His son now is running the show.
Thank
so,
God.
Yeah, and Billy Magnuson, playing Ben Brandt, is portrayed as the bad guy to start with. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, this guy he's pretty out of control for a bad guy and doesn't have enough gravitas, you would say.
He does Smiling Assassin well, though, in this.
He is so. I think he's. Should we go into MVPs?
Yeah, go ahead.
MVP. Yeah, Billy Magnuson.
Arturo Castro is still mine. Billy Magnuson would be like second. I really love him anytime he's in something. I
so
love
do
Billy
I.
Magnuson.
And
he's a lot of fun.
Because he started off and you're like, oh, that's a bad, bad guy. But he's not the bad guy. He's just some rich guy's kid, right?
Yeah.
And he plays that so well. And then he comes back at the end and he tries to fight and he's such a slimy little loser.
His scene at the bar where he comes in dressed in the pink suit and he's the way that he's
vodka
got
neat.
And he's like, I'm going to lean into villain in a way that's going to play notes that are familiar, but I'm not going to laze it up. I'm going to do something just a little bit more compelling with it. And I really appreciated his fucking effort doing that. I really liked it.
Yeah, I think he was... I think he's a really good actor.
Billy Magnuson, every time he shows up in something, the main thing I think of him from is The Big Short. And he has a iconic moment he and Schmidt, Max Greenfield, are telling Steve Carell and the other guys about how they have all this clientele who they sell houses and mortgages to, and a lot of them are strippers. And Steve Carell comes up to Billy Magnuson and he's like, can you introduce me to some of these girls? And Billy Magnuson goes, yes, I can. Like, he's so excited to go to the strip club. Yeah. I always think about that. He's really funny.
He's funny.
Marcus, I'm sorry. I think we cut you a little bit earlier when we were talking about Conor McGregor. You were saying there's a problem here. There's a disconnect between how Frank and I perceive McGregor.
Sorry, I just want to say quickly, just Billy Magnificent, more like it. Okay.
Glad back we didn't to let that one
and
go
I was
going
to say that at the rich guy's kid is always the villain. In fact,
yeah.
Case in point, as Tom.
Jesus, we're introducing class to the podcast this year.
I didn't know you were rich.
On one half.
Yeah.
Can I have
Chooses
some?
Not
no,
the worst kind of rich.
Yeah.
The problem, as I said, is that I thoroughly enjoyed Conor McGregor in this.
Okay, yes, okay, but so let me
and
let,
I feel guilty
no, but,
that I did. I think
sorry,
because,
I just
because Conor McGregor is so naturally built. This might be the first and last time we ever see him in film.
I hope.
Right? Thank fucking
I know.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but like, and we use the word, or Tom uses the word deployed a lot. I like it. It's a nice word. I think deployed well. If this was the brief he was given, if this is like, look, Conor, just be Conor. Just go out and be Conor on coke. Like, just be max out.
Well, I don't think they even said that. I just think he was on coke on
the
set.
Yeah, quite true, honestly.
But I
when I was watching this, because I knew this from the start, the Post Malone thing fucking shit me to tears. As soon as I saw him, I knew he was in the film. And I was like, how is he going to be integrated into
First
this?
Of all, he doesn't look like any kind
no,
of fighter.
No, you could have hired any goon.
He should have been like the bartender that was like cool and likable. Great role, great marketing for you.
I don't mind a pit fighter to look a bit like overweight and shabby and just like brute strength and strong and whatever. And I don't mind that. It didn't have to be Post Malone.
No.
I didn't care and I was like, and it takes me out of it immediately.
It's a weird reach by the film to either go like, we need a song by him but he'll only do it if he's in the movie, or we asked him because we think it's going to play well with a certain demographic.
Yeah.
who are going to go, that's Post Malone, I better subscribe to Amazon now. Like, I don't fucking know.
But that's it. It's like literally, it's the problem. It's like, does that get eyeballs on the film?
Fuck no.
But then I got to the moment when I hadn't bought into this until Jake arrives at the Florida venue. We obviously see it start to go to shit because he's like, this place looks great. And then the bartender or the staff all laugh at him, and then you see nighttime, it's fucked. Mm-hmm. And being, again, from a hospo background, I'm reaching from nights and I started being like, wow, I've actually seen fights like this. I've seen nights like this and I've worked in bars like this, right? And then watching Jake take the bartender or the security at the time, let's say, loosely, under his wing.
Yeah, Lucas Gage and very, is the white
very
kid.
Calmly, you didn't see Jake immediately go, okay, sleeves up and get out there and start fucking taking care of things. Instead, you see him coaching this kid to be like, this is what you're looking for and this is how you deal with this. And it's about composure, right?
He's going to pull out his knife, you step back, then you pop him in the face. Yep. Simple.
Very convenient clean. Sort of thing. It was a bit like on the nose.
Of course. Yeah, and I've been in a lot of fights with knives.
doesn't work.
But I enjoyed the mentorship that he showed rather than I'm here to kick ass and roundhouse kick everyone and stuff. And I kind of liked that approach.
Which is the Swayze approach. Yeah. Swayze only roundhouse kicks when it's required.
Yeah. Yeah.
And never women. Unless absolutely necessary.
Unless they really come at us.
The moment you were talking about Marcus with Lucas Gage and how he sort of mentors him, tells him to take a step back because the guy's got enough. Again, I was like, yeah, that's a bit much. Mm. That's one of the sections of the movie that I was like, this is very comfy. I could truly, if this is the next half hour of the movie, I'm fucking in. Just have him spruce the place up. Mm. There's always a satisfaction with him coming into a place or someone coming in, like in a Western or like in, you know, sort of a rough and tumble
teaching
narrative.
The staff how to do it.
Show
cleaning
how
up,
to do
shop.
It yourselves. You guys can learn from me, right? Mm. I love Jessica Williams, who's also plays, I think it's Jessica Williams. I'm sorry, I might be getting her last name. She's Miss Fine. Her name is Miss Fine in Booksmart, and she's a really wonderful, she was like a correspondent on The Daily Show. She's always a fun presence. Mm. So she's great.
Mm. I didn't care for her.
I think she's
Is that because I don't know her previous work?
I find her a fun, familiar face, but she always is just kind of like what you need, right? And I think
I've seen her in Shrinking, but
okay. And Lucas Gage, who's the young
blonde sort of surfer dude looking.
Yeah, and he's from the first season of The White Lotus, and him and Murray Bartlett kind of have a thing. So he's another one that I see and I'm like, oh yeah, he's a familiar dude and he has a bit of fun. He hires the other dude who's a surfer, I can't remember his name, but like
his name's Waves.
Seeing those two just sort of like sorted out, that stuff was good. The little bits of just when he was walking around town and everyone goes, hi Dalton, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I kind of like this. If it's just like everyone in town knows him now and it's just he's well known, that stuff works for me. Mm. It doesn't piss me off, I guess.
Okay.
Most of this movie pissed me off or bored me. And so that stuff was working pretty well. But
it did work well.
Yeah.
But I bought into it at that point. Mm-hmm. And then when you see, obviously, the bike again, the slapping thing out front, like that was all very enjoyable for me. I started to get a bit like, I was sitting on the edge of my seat. This was a comfy Sunday arvo for me, and I expected to tune out of this film or even turn it off. I'm going to be honest.
Well,
and at this moment, I started noticing that I was sitting on the edge of my chair. I caught myself out doing it. I was like, why am I leaning toward the TV watching this right now? Why am I so into it? And then it just got more and more insane to me that this got made. Truly.
Yes.
That's, and then all of a sudden I found myself grinning like an idiot and just I kept looking back at Flick on the couch and just being like, are you seeing this? And that's where it got me. And I fell for the spell of it. And so, look, I am fully aware that I should not have liked this film.
Yeah.
In fact, I do understand why it's so divisive and why some people are just like, fuck yeah, it's Roadhouse. And other people are like, this is trash. I was there. Mm. It had me. And so, therefore, when McGregor arrived on scene, I was like, here we go.
See, I feel like his first scene. Sorry, Marcus, I feel the same way. I dove in head first.
Yeah.
Eyes closed almost. We're like, let's go, stupid. But Conor McGregor, I'm sorry. Every time he was on screen, I was just like, I was laughing at him. The scene where he comes out of someone's apartment naked.
I think I was too.
And he's walking with his arms like this.
It's like holding an invisible boulder entire time. He has to keep his arms in front of him
he
like this.
He was really
I don't
trying
know
for
why.
And I know for a fact that this is what he was trying for. whether it be the director's choice or a Connor choice or a collaboration, I think that we're really going for Arnie's introduction to the Terminator series.
No.
Hear me out.
It can't be.
I get what Mark's saying, like the nudity and, you know, the sort of, the figure he cuts.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Hold on.
Yep, sorry.
Let me finish.
Yep.
Sorry. What I think they're trying to do, and whether it works or not, and at this point, jury's out, I really don't think it will, they could market and push McGregor moving forward to be a new age Bruce Lee. Let me finish.
Please try.
If you see like Game of Death and things like that, there's very little dialogue. There's very little story. If you have a film that's just like, we've just got a guy who's just absurd, just a big character, and who cares what he says at this point? We just want to see some fighting. Now, we need to see some actual fighting, though, and some actual utilizing his martial arts skills, mm-hmm. right? I think they could have him as just like a B-grade action fighting fist star. Do you know what I mean?
I see your point. I don't think he has the charisma.
Yeah. He's not going to sell out theaters.
Mm-hmm.
No. You don't think he's got the charisma? No. I think he's got the confidence.
Different things.
No doubt.
Very different things.
Here's my pitch.
Mm.
Conor McGregor as Mrs. Doubtfire. Make that remake.
What are you doing?
Just don't know. Just put him in fucking something at this point.
Something.
Anything that would make me go like, yeah. He's wearing a dress.
I hate to say it, but it was so dumb it was good for me.
Mm.
I feel like the problem that the thing about Conor McGregor in this film is like you watch the behind the scenes and Conor McGregor is integral in the choreography of the fight and working it out and being like pitching ideas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like.
So he's the reason they all suck.
I'll skip that. He's throwing ideas out there. He's working collaboratively with Doug Liman, with Jake. It's the three of them sort of like working it out, how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. He's got a great knowledge of that, of how fighting works. The last fight in the actual film looks like shit because it doesn't look like they're fighting.
Mm.
It'd be so great if we got, all right, here we are. Jake Gyllenhaal's been training for 3 months. He's been taking a lot of hormones and he's very thin and Conor McGregor is an actual fighter. Let's watch them fight and put like, you know, wide
actually
angle camera and just go. Of course, you don't want to break any noses.
They didn't simulate. Careful. I mean, they sort of simulated an octagon by having the.
Yeah, that's what it's meant to look
the
like.
Stage.
Yeah.
With the wire and stuff like that. I kind of get that.
It's impressive having a fight scene between two guys that I'm not convinced have ever met. Like, watching that fucking final fight scene, I'm like, these guys aren't in the same frame. I can't even see how anything they're doing is connecting with each other.
But watching behind the scenes is literally like they are dancing together. It's like they were there for weeks making it work. Conor McGregor's like, well, I'll smash the window and I'll say, oh, I hurt your leg. I think I got your leg there or whatever he says. Where's my spinach?
I think this piano's out of tune. Sounds good to me. I was like, if I turned this off, I could just lie and say I finished it at this point, couldn't I?
Yeah.
You remember The Killer from last year, the movie I won't shut up about? It's my favorite movie. Yeah. You remember the fucking fight sequence between Michael Fassbender and the big guy?
Yeah.
Why are you whispering? Is
Where's
it a secret?
Any
is
of
it a
that?
Secret?
It's a secret from you.
Oh,
where is
Frank and Frank,
oh my God. Where is any of like? Give me a scene that feels like anyone is actually hitting.
Do you know?
The
it's
other
not.
Person.
It's none of it's visceral.
I know
that's the problem.
No hit is felt ever.
If anything in this film was actually really genuinely good, that I thought was exceptional, the rest of the film would have fell flat because of that. The fact
one
is,
one thing was too good.
That's it. The fact is, everything hit. It was all on the same page. You had mediocre choreography. You had mediocre delivery on performance. Mediocre cinematography. Like, just it all matched up.
I can't get a new couch because the rest of the lounge room will look like shit.
Yeah,
I need it all to be on balance.
Is kind of how this film worked for me. Look, I probably won't rewatch it. Like I said, I would rewatch it with my friends who I know don't give a fuck about cinema.
You give me half a bottle of vodka, I'll be that friend and come watch this with you.
Like,
drink responsibly.
There was
I think a lot of this film is exceptional. I think it's such a weird paradox of like, so BK Cannon, who plays Laura, who's like the bartender, she's funny as. She's so enjoyable to watch. Again, we've said Billy Magnuson, amazing. Jake Gyllenhaal. You can't deny that he's great in this.
Yes, you can. You can absolutely deny that he's great. You can say that he's impressively not bad in this.
Sure. That's pretty good.
I would say if his whole thing is that he has to reserve and cage his rage, right? Mm. Because of what rage, you know, you won't like me when I'm angry. Yeah. Angly.
You wouldn't like him when he's angly.
Yeah,
you wouldn't like him when he's... Who directed the Hulk?
When he's being angly, you know, on an angle.
Ang Lee directed...
Oh, yeah, Eric Banner.
Yeah. He did.
That's the bit. No, he didn't. You are right, actually, 100%.
I immediately changed my mind.
What was my point?
Spike Lee.
He's containing...
Oh, yeah, my point is, if that was the whole thing... When he finally goes, okay, now you've pissed me off and now I'm going to fucking, like, I'm going to do this, right?
Mm. You do sound a bit like Jay Gyllenhaal, actually.
That's
you have that sort of, you know, the thin, high voice.
None
of that.
No. I don't understand how Frank hears that.
It's Nick Kroll you're doing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like,
so
yeah.
he,
oh, hello.
My thing is, Tom.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, if you focus.
Want, if you want to get and shift out of that one note,
yeah.
that was his moment. What's it's like, okay, if you've really, like, if he's snapped right. again, I need to see the snap. Mm-hmm. And other than hitting a guy in the trachea and you know, like some violent stuff, mm-hmm. I didn't really see him shift to.
He didn't feel different. He just did different actions.
Yeah, for a guy that we know can provide
really
the rage
provide.
And let it out. Yeah. And the only time we see it maybe as a, like an artistic choice
yep.
is in the flashback where he's fighting the guy, right?
Yeah. The rage in that scene is so much different to the rage he does against anyone else.
People
in this
who
film.
He's trying to kill.
The McGregor, yeah. the McGregor stuff just doesn't land at all. I don't
no,
think.
No, so.
Can yeah. we talk about the boat, the whole boat thing, the whole boat of it all?
The most I laughed in this whole film mm. is when that goon punches Gyllenhaal in the face and it just like it's just the softest
that
little
is that
punch.
Is funny. I did laugh at that
very
as well actually.
Funny. It was just he and tries like, to put him in line and he just hits him and you see the fist kind of sink into his cheek and then Gyllenhaal just kind of stands there and
like,
stares at
him.
Okay, okay
like,
oh. thanks. Very silly. He does
very
a,
funny.
He, they do the Walter White where he has like his keys rigged up to set off the bombs. Just like with, like, what well, I was like, okay, this
yeah.
feels like it's just pulling from different things. Then it yeah. turns into Face Off with the boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to watch Face Off now. Like, so many moments in this movie, I was like, I just want to go watch that other movie.
But what about when he jumps off the boat onto the other boat?
Yeah, it was stupid.
Amazing. How did that happen? What a great jump.
It felt like.
He must be a master of physics.
I made this point with Bullet Train, and maybe we might get into the Butler's Pantry in a little bit if we have time. Just about
doubt
the,
it.
But the point I'll just make that's similar where I don't know if I rewatched Bullet Train today if I'd like it a lot less than I did when we did it last year.
Really?
I was kind of basically a little over the halfway point with Bullet Train, but it was a movie that had to win me over. Mm. And now having seen this, I just find this brand of action movie pretty tiresome. And that aspect that was true of Bullet Train as well was like, it's like watching a kid play with action men, being like, and then they do this, and then they land that. And I'm like, there's no sense of real danger.
I'm not saying it was Sharknado, but like, there's an element of it that's kind of in the
$85 same, million yeah. dollar Sharknado, right?
You know? Yeah. It's Sharknado with a budget.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, I think 60 million.
They offered them 60 in a theatrical run, but they said 85 if you just want to go straight to streaming. They took the 85.
As in they got paid more to do it if they
yeah,
went
yeah, because otherwise it would have had to distribution and all that. So they
it
were just
like, cost so much.
Yeah, crazy. So 85 million, I imagine that's 20 for Jake, maybe a little less, but probably 20, probably 10 for McGregor.
Connor, yeah.
So that's like almost half your budget just on those two. And then presumably the rest of it went into that fantastic CGI.
Of
right.
that crocodile
Here's the thing,
pulling the alligator pulling that guy into that.
There are a couple of things. Again, it feels like a really cheap movie.
Yes,
that's
it does. It's an $85 million movie.
The reversing
looks like shit.
Pickup
looks-
truck on the bridge going at 160 miles an hour.
So bad.
In reverse.
Yeah.
yes. Was bad.
It's really bad.
Very bad.
The CGI is bad. I think the camera work for the fight scenes is the most troubling part of it. I feel like if the fight scenes looked more visceral and real and maybe just still, just stop cutting between every single piece of action so you could feel something.
Yes. There's no
You'd
impact.
Be much more invested. There's
this,
no yeah, there's no impact.
This film was more brawn over brains.
Yeah, but in not just but, in the – I don't mind that if there's a technical – I think there needs to be brains somewhere. I don't think it can be all brawn. is the problem. And I think if the story is bullshit with characters that are bullshit and dialogue that are that's bullshit.
But I don't think...
If there's a technical level to it that I find impressive, I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't think the story is that bullshit. If it's nothing groundbreaking. I'll give it that. But it'd be fun to see Gyllenhaal come in, train up the staff, have a great time. Oh, I agree with. You know what I mean?
I want that movie. And when I thought that's where it was going, I was like, this is probably a decent six. Like, if it's going to be him just training up the crew and they become
Conor
buddies.
And then McGregor comes in.
And then it just turns to shit.
It gets a little ludicrous.
What is the story? I know I shouldn't fucking bother, but what is the thing that the bikies are trying to do originally? Is their job to try and...
They're pushing out to Jessica Williams.
Eliminate the Yeah, to take ownership of the building, to knock it down and get the land.
Yeah.
And then the land, because it's a key
development
distribution
area. No, they want it. They want to develop it, property development.
They have half of the police in their pocket and they have like access to all these bikies. What is taking them so fucking long? And even when they go there, the time where he's like, burn it down, they still don't do it. Why do they suck at this so bad?
They should just
like,
burn it down.
It's very weird how once you realize what their plan was, it's like, bad job. Bad job. Like, why do you guys say it took a boat
make enough at that venue either to have rebuilt it from the damage.
And here's the thing. If they just burnt it down or offered them, here's $100 million or $20 million, she's taken it. She's taken the money.
Yes,
and going,
she would take that money.
That's right. You take this
kinda
area.
Kinda liked the line. You don't strike me as someone who gets threatened. I would bribe you if I thought that would work. Oh, how much money are we talking? I was just like, okay, there's a little bit of spark there. Like,
He's giving a little bit of effort.
A little bit of spark.
Just
there.
The right amount. The old Gyllenhaal.
The Gyllenhaal amount.
We got there.
I'm trying to think of what's like a haul, like a back of a truck you're hauling something. There's something there. Someone John yes and me, in. For fuck's sake. Language.
God, what?
Oh.
Do we wanna go into the pantry to talk about Doug Liman a little?
Yeah.
The butler in a pantry with a mic.
Doug Liman.
The butler's pantry.
Sorry, pal.
I know it's normally you, but...
No, it's fine. What I said was dumb.
What did you say?
Don't worry. I was glad you covered it. Yeah. That's all you got.
I'll cut your mic for that second. That'll be fine.
Doug. We're outside the pantry.
I found Conor McGregor.
He's banging on the door.
He won't come out. He says he's out of spinach.
And he's found some cocaine.
And he says it's much better.
Go on.
Doug Liman is weirdly one of the most low-key influential directors of the last 20 years.
Yeah,
he's a guy who has made Swingers, right?
Directed Swingers.
Directed, which is obviously John...
Sorry, just to be really disappointing, I never liked Swingers.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I'm aware of its reputation, but I've never... But it kind of launched Vaughn and John Favreau, right? John Favreau wrote it.
Wrote it together.
They're
best friends.
John Favreau and Vince Vaughn. After that, he does the first Bourne movie. It's like a couple of movies in between.
Swingers, Go, Bourne Identity.
Bourne Identity. So he
goes pretty great.
I've never seen Go.
Yep.
It's the same poster as Swingers. Did you know?
Yes, I've seen the poster and was like, is it Winona? Who's in Go?
Mm-hmm. No.
I can't remember, but Timothy Oliphant is in Go.
Winona. Timothy Oliphant's in it? I'm there.
He's
gone
the best thing in it.
He's in most things.
He's so good.
Look, Mr. Frodo, an elephant. Every time I see Timothy Oliphant, it's something.
Come on. We are way off track.
Anyway, Bourne Identity. So he launches the Bourne series, like just sort of not that auspiciously, because when that movie came out, everyone was like, that was pretty good. And then obviously Paul Greengrass.
It was fantastic.
Well, Paul Greengrass takes it from there and makes it into what it is.
It was the first one to do like a hand-to-hand fight with no sound and stuff. And I was like,
I don't even know if the first one does that necessarily. I think that's a Greengrass thing.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Okay, I apologize. I thought that was more...
Wait, have you not even seen it?
I have, but I've seen the sequels more. Like, the Bourne Identity is the one I think of less. Anyway, he does Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Woof.
Which, like, was always simmering as one of those low-key movies that everyone was like, yeah, that's a bit of trash, but we all like it. And then, obviously, the Donald Glover show that came out this year.
And also the Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV movie 2 years later.
I don't remember that. Who's in it?
No one that we know.
Okay, fair enough.
Martin Henderson. Jordana Brewster.
Oh, I know Jordana Brewster. Truly. Wait.
Yeah, I know that Jasmine. Name. Why do I know
that?
Yeah,
what else is she in?
Wait, isn't that Jordana Brewster? Isn't that the girl from Fast and the Furious? Yeah.
Right, yeah. I was like, I know that name.
Oh, yeah, it is too.
Cool. But yes.
Yeah.
She's doing well.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which, kind of has that energy to it. Then I don't remember a lot before Edge of Tomorrow, but there's a...
Jumper and Fair Game.
Jumper was like, everyone was like, yeah, this is
something.
Thought
it was going to be great.
People went, Jamie Bell in Jumper. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jumper
then, Bell. And then Edge of Tomorrow. A movie, I think, gets a little too much credit. What do you guys think about it tomorrow?
I think it's great because I expected it to be poopy pants.
I agree it's better than you'd think.
Yeah.
And then once everyone went, this is one of the best action movies of the last 10 years, I was like, we can cut
Just it. Remind it's, me because I my brain tells me Oblivion.
Live, Die, Repeat, Tom
Cruise.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I enjoy it, actually.
I think it's a great use of Tom Cruise. Mm. It's one of the last times he gets to be this, like, you know, odious whelp. At the start, you know, and Brendan Gleeson's chewing him out.
Yeah.
And the first hour or so of that movie, kind of the best time you're going to have in a movie, where it's just kind of like, and he dies over and over again.
Groundhog
it just has
Day
to keep...
with aliens.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the last hour is basically the same as every sci-fi action movie. It's kind of a bit empty, whatever.
Yeah.
But from that, he gets a lot of leeway. He gets a lot of good faith where he can kind of like, or he gets like blank check status where he can sort of cash in and start making what he wants. Mm. But what has he made between now and...
American Made is the next one with Tom Cruise again.
Cruise, drug dealer, right?
No. Didn't watch it.
Like nothing of note that you go, oh, wow, The Wall, Impulse, Lockdown, Chaos Walking, The Recruit.
Yeah. So what we're seeing is the decline.
Weirdly, that's the thing where Live, Die, Repeat, which it's now known as a lot of the time, but Edge of Tomorrow is the big one that everyone's like, oh, Doug Liman, like genre filmmaker, whatever. Then now this has come out and I'm like, I don't know, is this going to be a thing? But it does mostly remind me of Bullet Train and to some extent reminds me of Cocaine Bear. You know, all movies that I think are just...
I can't believe I watched that.
That
is, I did that purely for Ray Liotta.
That movie fucking sucks. That movie sucks. Makes me angry.
That's
so bad. Like, I'd watch this Roadhouse any day of the week before I'd watch Cocaine Bear again. And it is just doing that same thing to me where I find it to be an incredibly empty, vapid sort of sense of humor that doesn't really lend anything to any of its characters and its stupidity without any purpose. Roadhouse is not quite as bad as that, but that's my take on Roadhouse, and I think we can end that with a...
That sounds like a take on a...
Hoo.
What do you want?
You know that... Hoo. No, I did it a different way.
You want that one?
Not quite my tempo.
This one.
That's the one.
No, you want that... Woo, yeah.
That's good.
But I deleted it.
Thanks for indulging the Butler's Pantry.
That was a great Butler's Pantry.
Okay, I'm going to jump ahead here. I am going to throw in the power.
Whoa!
Throw in the power!
What do you mean?
Oh.
Down.
I gave this a 7.5, I believe. I'm going to drop this down to a 6.1.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a big throw.
That's a huge throw.
Mm.
So you
still liked it?
Yeah. It's better than a 6.
But Tom is right. And I've analysed and it's shit.
No, but here's the thing.
It's just shit, but I fucking had a good time watching shit.
Here's the thing. I'm at 7.7. I'm not going to throw in anything, Thomas. You think you're better than us? No. Because turn your brain off. Turn your brain off for 1 hour and a half or 1 second. You know what I mean? Like,
it's B-grade goodness, and sometimes I think I just need to shut off and just enjoy a film at face value, and that's what this was.
That's fantastic. We're all happy to do that. Mm. I loved it. Had a great time.
I appreciate it.
I think it's a bad film, but I had a great time.
I'd go like up to like a little bit more because
we're
talking about...
So what are you saying?
I'm going to throw in the power.
Throw in the power!
I'd go up to a 3.3 because as we're talking about Billy Magnussen, I'm like, I didn't really take in how much Billy Magnussen made me smile in this movie.
Yeah. Give him at least 3 of that.
Can I say one thing? Really quickly, one thing, because I know we're running.
Try your best.
When I think of movies that are trash but fun, I have one that comes to mind recently, which is a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Death Warrant. Mm. It's not one of his most heralded ones. You know, he has those ones like Time Cop or whatever that people know Jean-Claude Van Damme for. And it's just like a guy who goes to prison and he just has to uncover some weird conspiracy and it's grotty and dirty and he kicks a bunch of people. It's like an 8 out of 11 movie. It's like a lot of fun and it's stupid in a way that embraces its stupidity but still has something, I don't know, a je ne sais quoi at the heart of it.
At the French, I'm
yeah, the French is too much. So go watch Death Warrant instead of Jean-Claude Van Damme. Je ne Roadhouse. No? What would I say about Roadhouse in French?
I don't know. Bueno.
is a bit much. That was Italian.
And that's just an accent.
Sometimes it's shit, sometimes it's shit. Through in the pal.
Thanks for listening to Throw in the Pal. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Dob.
Don't do that in your microphone.
Do what?
Sounds weird.
Which part?
That was Roadhouse.
Like lick it like an ice cream, I think you're saying.
That part?
Oh. I said stop it.
Roadhouse.
You meant to yes and me, Frank. Can,
please send us a DM or an email. Throw in the
pal. Please. Get us out of here.